Following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Welcome to Grace Covenant Baptist Church. Today, once again, we will be in Romans chapter 13, finishing up, hopefully, the first seven verses here. So, but this is, once again, kind of a recap. We broke the book of Romans up into five different sections. One focusing on sin, one focusing on salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, and now service. So the section of service that we're in is a section really around Christian ethics. And the section in Christian ethics that we are in is Christian politics. And so that's the section we're in here in the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13. Ava, if you would read for us Romans 13 verses 1 through 7, nice and loud.
Yes, let every person be subject to the governing authority. For there is no authority except for God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not there to good conduct, but to bad. Why would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive this approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because this you also pay taxes to the authorities or ministers of God, attending to this everything. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, renewed to whom renewed is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed.
All right, thank you. All right, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be here, to worship, to gather together as your body and hear from your word, to sing praises to you, to pray, to study and to fellowship with one another. We thank you for this. We thank you for the wonderful weather that we have, the place to gather where we are warm from the weather. We thank you for the delicious food that we will have later today. And we pray that your spirit will be here growing us, challenging us, and making us more into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as we've seen in this section, all authority comes from God. All authority is instituted by God, not just the people. Obviously, there were elections last night, and so not just the people that won those positions, but the actual positions that they hold, the authority that they have, the boundaries of their authority, the districts, the jurisdictions, the constitutions they uphold, all of those things are instituted by God. We talked about how authorities are organized into four categories. You have the state, you know, we know as the government, the church, the home, and the workplace. Now, for those of us that were here last week, which of those who were healthy last week, there might have been about five of us that were actually here. So it's a good thing to see healthy folks back again, or at least, as we said, maybe not healthy, but better. So that's better. That's good. But we talked about last time on why we should submit to the authorities in our life, and three reasons from this text. Who can remember kind of what were some of those that we see here in this text in 1 through 7 on reasons that we should submit to the authorities in our life, and in particular in these verses, government authorities? Who remembers?
if we're in disobedience to the authorities, then we're actually
in disobedience to God. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the kind of the overarching principle over all three of them, is that, you know, ultimately a lack of submission to these is a lack of submission to God, since He instituted them and it's His authority. Absolutely. Yeah, instituted by God. What do we see? What does the government carry in, where is it? The sword. They carry the sword, right? One of the reasons to obey is that if you don't, there's judgment. You know, there's God-ordained judgment for you. Makes it safe for law abiders, so that's a good thing. What about in verse 4, what else? What is another reason we should obey from verse 4? It's for our what? If we obey, what's
our good?
It's our good. It's good for us. So it's to our judgment, to our detriment if we don't. If we obey, it's ultimately for our good. Yeah. That's the goal, absolutely. What about verse 5? What's the third one here? What's the other benefit or reason for us to obey? What does verse 5 say?
Not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience.
For the sake of conscience, absolutely. Considering the fact that authorities keep us safe by those governing authorities being a terror to evil, so they keep us safe from evil. They're a blessing to us when things are good. Because of that, we owe them something. They're giving us something. We owe them something. Well, what do we owe them? We owe them respect. We owe them support. And when you owe somebody something and you don't pay it, that is a matter of conscience that you're not paying something you owe. So it is a matter of conscience that you support these authorities because they are providing something for you. So the other thing we talked about, or we kind of briefly got into right before our time ran out, was we talked about what our attitude should be towards our governing authorities. We talked about how our attitude should be respectful, should be honoring, voluntary. It shouldn't have to be coerced out of us. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, even in your thoughts, do not curse the king. You know, ultimately, our submission is obedience. Now, in our household, the way we talk about defining obedience is to say obedience is doing what we say, when we say it, with a respectful attitude. And if any one of those three is not done, then it is not ultimately obedience. And that's ultimately the posture of our attitude of submission even should be towards our government. Doing what's required of us, when it's required of us, with a respectful attitude. Is that easy to do? Sometimes, sure. Yeah. What you got, Noah? We want to be respectful when someone's talking to us. Well, if I said it wrong, I apologize. I'm not sure what I said wrong, but if I did, if I confused you, I am sorry, buddy. All right?
Because you know it brings up a great point.
Yeah.
Whenever we're faced with things we don't like, we tend to want to walk away. Yeah.
That's very true.
I'll do it when I want to do it.
Or in the way I want to do it. Or, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that,
which is not ultimately submission.
You have a backstory to what you say.
Right.
If you're telling me three things to do, and I really don't want to do any of it, and I do my best to leave before you tell me number two and number three, I can still justify I've been obedient because I did what I heard.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, we talked about justification, too, what that does for us. Yeah. But you're right. But ultimately, all of this stuff is about our attitude. It's not about outward obedience. You know, it is about our attitude. What is the goal of what we're trying to do? Which leads us to today. When do we get to not submit? The question that's been on our minds the entire time. And what to do when we shouldn't submit. And so after all this, let me ask this. Are there certain authority figures that we just shouldn't submit to at all? Yes? Okay. All right. What do you mean?
Well, you're let out of prison and they say, go and preach no more.
Yeah.
You know,
so that would be, and I did not ask the question clearly. That would be an example in my mind of a particular situation that we are not going to submit to that authority, because in this situation they said do this, which is contrary. And so you're right. There are situations that we shouldn't submit to authorities. Are there certain authorities that just in general we should, no matter what they say, not submit and obey to them? Yeah, just across the board. I see a no.
What we're talking about, respect.
Sure.
The office, not necessarily the person.
Okay.
Right. And if the person is advocating are in some instances ordering things that are clearly contrary,
sure,
to Scripture, then...
Which would be a situation, right? Which would be a situation that's coming out of a particular, yeah, a situation out of that office or out of that authority. Yeah.
According to the scripture, yes.
Yeah. The only caveat I would have this one to a particular authority that we do not have to obey, no matter what the situation is, I think we do need to be clear, unless if it's an authority that we are not under.
Right.
For example, as United States citizens, do we have to follow here in Louisiana, do we have to follow the laws of Shanghai? No. No, it doesn't. If they tell us to do something, if Kim Jong-un from North Korea tells us to do something, do we have to do that? No. We are under no... He is an authority figure, but we are not under that authority figure, right? And the same thing, I've seen people take it to the extent, you know, husbands are to obey wives. They've taken it to the extent that, well, all women should obey all men. No, that is not what Scripture says. Husbands and wives is the context of that.
Sure.
Very important. Even I know we've talked about it with church discipline between different churches. You know, somebody may be a member over at another church, which is, you would say, okay, my authority over that person does not carry. You know, now there's still respect that should be played, but as far as authority, there's a different issue. And so I think that's something just to keep in mind. Okay, what exactly authority are you under? You know, a sheriff from some county in California can't come over here and start trying to enforce California's laws on us. It doesn't work that way, you know. That's right. All right, so.
The reciprocal of that truth, too, we can't impose our authority in other places.
Sure.
For people who are not with us.
Very true. Very true. Now, we said there are situations where we shouldn't submit to authorities. We all agree with that. What are those situations, and how do we know the difference?
Tony Bachman put it way in my mind. He said, we are not to submit to authority. Says we must do what God bans, or the authority bans what God says we must do.
Yeah.
And the way we know that is,
you got to know what God says to know that, right? Absolutely. Yeah, there's a book called The Church, State, and Public Justice. I like the way this particular book puts it. It says that our obedience is unconditional but limited. It's unconditional in the sense that we don't wait until that particular authority figure proves themselves worthy of submission before we submit. You don't wait for that. John MacArthur describes governing authorities as this. He says, it's every position of civil authority without regards to their competency, morality, reasonableness, or any other caveat. Going back to what you were saying, the authority is in the person that holds the office. Because, as we said, God has ordained that authority, he has ordained the boundaries of that office, and he has ordained the person that is holding that office. And so it's not a... It's not a wait and see. The same thing, take it to another. It's in marriage. If wives are waiting for their husbands to be worthy of their submission, is that ever going to happen, guys? You ever going to be worthy of that? Not a chance. It's the same thing with our governing authority. Saying that I'm going to wait until they prove themselves worthy is basically saying I'm never going to do it. Because there's always going to be something. Always. But, so unconditional, meaning it's unconditional, meaning it's not, there's no caveat, well, they've got to be like this, or well, if they're a Republican politician or a Democrat, I'll follow them, but these other ones are not, or if they are a Christian, or if they believe this, or no, it's unconditional. It's unconditioned, but it's limited. And the limited goes into what you were saying, the same thing. We cannot submit to authorities that either forbid what God requires or require what God forbids. Because ultimately we have to do what God commands and we can't do what God forbids. And so it's unconditional, but it's limited in that it still is grounded upon Scripture, which is one of the other authorities in our life. Well, and I would, with the understandings we were talking about, all submission to God is by proxy, and one of those by proxy that God has given us without His audible voice, Hebrews 1, is the Word of God, which is the Scripture. And so I would agree with that understanding of it. Because some people might say, oh, well, yeah, the Scripture's not God. The Scripture's, oh, well, okay. They may take that to mean something that you're not intending by separating those two. And as we would say, that Scripture is the authoritative, inerrant Word of God. And so it is God speaking to us. I'm saying there's other denominations that separate God speaking to you and God's the Bible. And we say, no, those are the same.
How do we jive authority in America when authority is a document that we've agreed upon to be under, and authority is by the consent of those that are governed? We in fact the authority, the Constitution's authority. Yes, someone is going against the Constitution, actually going against
So that is an excellent question, because it really brings up, and I think we mentioned this one of the times, that the context of how this is played out, which really leads into this next section we're going to go to, is okay, what do we do when we encounter an authority that is forbidding us to do something God required or requiring us to do something God forbids? What do? The answer to that is extremely context dependent. That looks different how you handle that in a communist government versus a constitutional representative republic versus a theocracy versus a dictatorship versus a meritocracy versus whatever system you are under. It looks different. Okay? And so your question is basically, okay, I know it looks different, but how does that look in our context? What does that look like in our country? And that's exactly what I want to talk about now. So that's perfect. Thank you. Let's open it up to group. What do you think? What does that look like in our country when we do run across one of those things that's being required of us to do something that God forbids, or forbidden to do something that God requires in this country, in this context? What does that look like for us? What do we do?
Well, when we talk about that, my brain doesn't work that fast.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of a concrete example. And so I just ask the question, what does our government compel us to do on pain of imprisonment or fine?
Sure.
That it is in contradiction to God's word.
That's a good question. What are some examples and or what would be some?
Yeah.
Sure, great question.
Bake the cake.
Yeah. Maybe. What do y'all think? Let's take the first example, the bake the cake. All right. If you, I think in this case, the way they've couched it is baking that cake is a form of artistic expression, and I should not be required to use my expertise or art form in celebration of something that is in violation of a religious liberty. Right. So.
Well, but I think that even in that case, faith was vindicated in the Supreme Court. The report found in favor, not the magistrate that tried to impose a ordinance on it.
Sure.
So, I mean, it went through the process. Originally, it was they were at odds, but ultimately, the government, the way our government.
Agreed.
The structure found in life found for the person saying, no, I have a religious, basically, I have a religious objection.
Right.
So they were.
Sure.
I mean, I know this is to do with politics, but the sad part about it is, I mean, couldn't they not conduct any business here in that time? Wasn't there, like, they're then not able to support their family and they're not able to.
Well, I think at one time, initially, I think the way the city council or whatever was doing it, they had kind of prohibited them from
shut down.
Yeah. I think they got a say on that.
Yeah.
I don't think the whole 2 or 3 year process that they went through, and I may be wrong, but I don't think the whole 2 or 3 year process they went through, they were out of business or were being compelled by the government to be closed. Now, they may have closed because they, for other reasons.
Well, they got the legal fees they would return.
But in fact, they incurred some legal costs, that's true. But again, I think for me, what I'm trying to clarify is there's a lot of stuff saying, standing for the government. Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm with you theoretically. But are we actually being compelled on the pains of imprisonment, death, or fine to do something contrary to our religious convictions? That very same government and that very same paper was 2 months after the Supreme Court decided to support him. They sent in an attorney, and that attorney was a homosexual and wanted to decorate a coming out case. And then they did the same exact thing, which is the legislation, the fighting that. It's different. But, I mean, they're doing the same exact thing. They're just claiming that it's different than us than we've been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're actually going against their God-given authority. Right. People are in the Supreme Court. And, in that instance, you may not like the answer that I'm about to give, but in that instance, it might be that they move out of that jurisdiction and open the business someplace else. Now, and that goes against, I've been my family from here, I grew up here, my grandfather started this business, we're a pillar of the community. I got that, I understand, but so if the magistrate's going to be openly antagonistic towards you where you are, perhaps the best response is to move where the magistrate is not.
Maybe.
The original statement, this is all intentionally in place. Because these arguments about taking the cake are localized. It's not a national issue. What about, you've got two remedies. You can either vote these guys out, or you can move them. Right.
So you got Marquise?
I heard something about Sunday.
Another option or another potential thing.
I was thinking of Hobby Lobby, and that was not so much the laws and the Catholic organization. The
if they were having to pay for abortion and those kinds of
things. The health insurance.
Sunday was providing all of the different kinds of pregnancy management medications.
Well, yeah, that attending was more that, and they were on the pain of in-person medication.
But again, I think different drugs that they were supposed to pay for according to the government, and only six of those were abortifacient. And so they actually paid for 14, which I think was in their interest when they argued their case. It's like, we're paying for all this, you know.
I mean, in both these cases, what we see is that something comes up that is against our religious conviction, which we believe in the gospel. I think they stand up and say, no, no, you're trying to compel me to do this, and I have a religious objection to this. And, you know, we mean suits and lawyers and fines and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I think we stand up for that. But the other thing about where we live is we still have due process. You know, it's the same as we get the whole time of that. We have a due process
standard,
which in these two cases that we mentioned have actually stood up for the rights of the defendant.
And not without cost, not to say there wasn't a cost, but the process itself is costly. But ultimately, the ultimate result was, I don't know if vindication is the word, but an upholding of the value. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Continue to hit on the thing that Bogie said. Bogie said that the legislature magistrate is drastically more important to you in your daily life than the president is. He said it's far more important that your sheriff walks and is someone that you know will not enforce an unlawful law, an unconstitutional law, than it is who the president is that might let that pass.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I had sympathy for the bankers and what they were doing.
Sure.
I took a different stance on that than most everybody else sitting in the room and criticized that. So I'm going to go into it. But at the end of the day, he was vindicated. I'm trying to see where is it that we're actually being compelled on imprisonment, threatening imprisonment or pain of death or crime to do something that goes against our religious convictions.
That's a great question.
It's hard for me to answer the question, well, what do you do short of circumstances.
Well, and that's why I think it's going back to what we said the very first time. It's some of this stuff is difficult for us sitting here today because a lot of the issues, particularly in the context that Paul was speaking to these readers, are not things we deal with. We don't typically deal with armed police showing up to our house and taking all our stuff and throwing us into the street, and these aren't for most of us a fear. Now, are these things going on in other parts of the world even today? Absolutely, they are.
Yeah, where those are like the believers in Russia, the church in Russia.
Sure.
You know, there's still a ban in the Russian Republic currently from having an unauthorized church.
Yeah.
So what do? They have a church, an underground church, and meet in secret. Is that against the law in Russia? Yeah, you bet it is. But their believers are still holding mandate that says that as Christians we are to be assembled together as and they want to. It's not like they're, you know, trying to be some sort of political activist.
Yeah.
So in those instances where they are clearly being compelled to move against their religious convictions, they're holding their convictions even though that puts them
So,
the, I put you in a place like the Hebrew midwives.
Yeah.
You have to actually lie to the authority. You have to
hide.
Hide.
Well, and that's where I think it's important to remember that these principles I'm about to go through not only apply for us in dealing with the government, but they apply in the family between wives and husbands, children and parents, in the church between members and elders, and at the workplace between employees and bosses. These same things I'm about to go through apply. The things that you should do when you are forbidden to do what God requires or required to do what God forbids. Bodhi Bakhan breaks these things down into two categories. You have passive things and active things. The passive thing he first talks about is you should pray for these people. Pray for these authorities, all right, that are requiring these things. And in these four areas, the verse that comes to mind is 1 Timothy 2. It says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So the first thing is our prayer for them should be that their hearts would change, that these ideas, these beliefs that they have, we should be praying for our leaders in all of those four categories. We should be praying that they would first of all know God, that they would have be repentant, they would have regenerated hearts, that they would be filled with the Spirit in the things that they were doing. Now, that's not to say that that's one of those caveats that only if they are this will I obey them, but that's just simply say that's one of the, when we run into these things, one of the passive things that we can do is pray for these people. And we really ought to be doing it long before we run into these things. But that all of those four levels of authorities in our lives, we should constantly be praying for those and praying for them so that we can live a quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, as it says in 1 Timothy. The second one is that we can be a model for that authority. All right. So how can we be a model for the authority to influence them? I take this directly from 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see their respectful and pure conduct. I think this applies to government authorities as well. How are we handling ourselves? How are we defying authority if it came down to that? Are we doing it in a rude, aggressive, hateful, spiteful way? Or as we're talking about, or even at this spot, are we doing it respectful? Are we doing it with honor? Are we even disobeying in a non-aggressive but submissive way? And so we can pray for them and we can be a model.
Now, that's a conversation I'm having this week.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was concerned about in their place of work, social things going on,
mm-hmm.
social issues going on in their place of work, and they were concerned about repercussions in being Christian witness in their place of work, and then being in trouble,
sure.
You know, with some pop-up issues, and I want to say that I just communicated with them. I think it's most important that with all people with a very high degree of respect for our Christian ethics,
yeah.
That it doesn't mean we agree. Respect does not come out synonymously with
agreement. Right.
But that we speak to them as, in this way, my counsel, but speak to these people as if you could speak to them any other day of the week. If all things were equal, if this was never an issue, just speak to them with respect and just straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business as you need to take care of business. Don't get off on, you know, ancillary issues. But just be very, very, very respectful, even in the face of provocation.
Mm-hmm.
Provocation will come.
Well, and that goes back to the point of all these things, why I recapped the context of this. You know, we're in the service section. We're in a service a section on Christian ethics, and particularly a section on Christian politics. Because the section right before us in chapter 12, some of the things that were said were abhor evil, outdo one another in showing honor, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice, live in harmony with one another, never be wise in your own sight, repay no one evil for evil, live it peaceably with all, do not avenge yourselves. I mean, all these things are said, and then he comes to this section and talks about this stuff. And so, to your point, we can't forget those things when we get to this section, because all of those still apply in the greater context of how we are to respond in these extremely difficult situations.
I think the easy way to pick up something from the left, and that is less revenge. But when they go ahead and they have sanctuary cities where they're disobeying federal law,
yeah.
They have states, you know, states where marijuana is legal but it's still illegal nationally. Go ahead, they disobey and they get away with it. Why can't we have a sanctuary city, you know, or sanctuary parish, you know, watch out there, you know, or North Louisiana or this parish, we're not going to allow the unborn to be murdered either.
Well, and going back to your point, you can do what the context of the government allows, and in the context of our government, take parishes, for example, underneath a sheriff, and a sheriff is not upheld to federal or state law. A sheriff is sworn directly to the Constitution. And going back to your point earlier, if your particular sheriff feels that something federal and or state is unconstitutional, it is his authority whether he enforces that or not. And so, to what you're saying, yeah, that is something that our context of government allows.
And that's your issue with abortion. You're trying to remember which state. But there is a state that statewide abortion is banned in that state. And it already is going through the, you know, judicial appeal.
Missouri. Really?
Yeah, I couldn't remember which state it was. And they're going through the appeals process now.
Yeah, and it was in Illinois, right across the border.
Hmm.
They built this, like a 15,000 square foot abortion clinic, and they kept calling it some other thing,
right,
where contractors continue to work on it.
Wow.
Missouri thing, I don't want to get to it. I think they have another mode. They're setting that up to the Supreme Court, check out that topic.
Yeah.
You could do this locally without it necessarily being institutionalized. If the populace votes for it, or votes against it, in that whole context, it becomes non-institutional law.
Yeah. So some of the active things that we can do, we can appeal. We can appeal respectfully and by means that are provided by that authority. Biblical examples, we have Moses before Pharaoh. The widow before the unjust judge making an appeal. Paul before Felix making his appeal in Acts 24. Once again, this is very culturally and society dependent on how that works, but in our society with government, you can vote. Our voting is an appeal. You know, there's an issue, you know, in this country we're talking about it on the right end. Incumbents get reelected at a 93% rate. So we're giving our government an A+. We re-vote for them, so we can vote. We can write letters. We can speak before a governing body. We can testify. There's lots of things we can do to appeal. In our home, our kids are not allowed to ask, why? Why do I have to do that? But they are allowed to ask, can you please explain it to me? As they are on the way to do what we've asked them to do. All right, that's kind of our cultural home version of an appeal. Confront. You can confront the authorities. We have Nathan before King David after Bathsheba. That was a direct confrontation. We have Daniel to the chief eunuch in Daniel 1:8. And I didn't know if this was a confrontation or an appeal, but notice Daniel doesn't tell the chief eunuch, hey, you want me to eat all this bad for me stuff? No, my God says I'm not doing this. I don't care what you say, we're not eating this. That's not what he says. He says he was resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. He did not go in there stomping his foot, throwing the food around. I'm not doing it. You're trying to make... No. It was an ask. It was an appeal. It was a confrontation. John before Herod. These were direct confrontational protests. Peaceful, though. Third one, active. Defy authority. You know, as you said, the Hebrew midwives, they were defying authority. The book of Daniel, you have Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah not bowing down to the golden statue. They were defying authority. Acts 2, Peter and John are preaching. In Acts 4, they're told to stop. In Acts 5, they're preaching. You know, pretty simple, defying authority. Fleeing. You can just leave. The example you gave, just leave. And sometimes that's the wise decision. We see that with Paul so many times on his missionary journeys. When does he know it's time to leave that town? He got thrown out. They threw me out. I think that's the Spirit telling me I should move to the next one, right? Eli, it's not that complicated. So sometimes just simply flee. Running from persecution might be the option. Particularly what's, you know, it's neat about our country, and it's less so than when it was founded to be, but you know, this country was founded with these states to be extremely different. You don't like Missouri, go to Louisiana. You don't like Louisiana, go to New York. You don't like New York, go to California. And with the federal government getting bigger and bigger, they're somewhat becoming more homogenized. But the idea is still, we live in a culture and society. If I want to move from one state to the other, I don't have to get anybody's permission. In some of these cultures, you can't sell your home. You can't change your job. You can't move without the government telling you whether you can or not. And we don't have that. So to your point, maybe that guy moves one county over. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that's always the answer, but it is an option. Fleeing is an option. Now, even if we come to this last section, defying the authorities, fleeing from the authorities, resisting authorities, we got to be careful about how we handle that, because according to this chapter 13, verse 2, rulers are not a terror for good conduct, but to bad. And verse 2 says that those who resist will incur judgment. So if we flee, if we defy, we need to be ready to readily, gladly, with humility, accept whatever consequences come our way. Once again, fortunate for us, we live in a society that even though it may be costly, even though it may take a long time, there is a process that both the examples we brought up earlier, they were ultimately cleared. Was it without cost? No, not at all. But when they decided to defy that, their decision had to be made that, okay, there will be cost with this, and we have to gladly, humbly, accept what that is. And we see that. We see Daniel going to the lion's den. We don't see Daniel fighting that and getting his buddies and raising swords to go against it. We know he all right, let's go.
I was thinking about this, talking about Daniel not wanting to defile himself. You know, what if the true chief would have said, no, I'm not giving you the special dissertation, you may speak to me.
Sure.
If Daniel would have been submissive to that authority of his wife, which I believe he would have been, if that's the case, then the Lord would have prevailed in that circumstance. Anyway,
in some capacity, yeah.
That they would be stronger and
sure,
more fit, but they would probably be weak and handicapped, if you will, everybody else, but we
yeah,
feel through the divine power that God gave them. So the point is that, yeah, God said don't eat these things because they are undefiled.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as it depends upon us, we follow the word of the Lord, right, in that case. And yet, if we are still compelled, and again, I'm saying in this case,
not sure,
compelled to eat the food that is otherwise defiled, then we've not sinned before God. And God can use
that and does use that to glorify himself, even when it may mean our own death.
Sure.
So I think sometimes we hold the standards maybe a little more lightly than what we ought to do.
Maybe. Maybe. That's a good point. Matthew Henry puts it this way. He says, to our governing authorities, obedience to their commands in all things lawful and honest, and in other things, we should have patient subjection to the penalty without resistance. That is hard, but no less true. I think we've got to be really careful before we jump to disobedience. We got to be careful. Our first inclination should be obedience. Should be our first inclination. Now, he said, if we do decide to flee or defy, we got to be prepared to lose liberty, to lose property, or worse. You know, y'all know we've already talked some about what is going on in many places in the world right now, even today, when you speak up and defy authorities. I was in Cuba in summer of 2015, and talking to some folks there in a cafe, and I wanted to get an engagement. Tell me about, you know, what's it like to do this, do that. Well, I started moving on towards the government or politics, and this these three people there, this lady just kept doing this. And I said, so can she said, I don't like to talk about it. I said, okay. I said, why don't you like to talk about it? She said, we're not allowed to. I said, okay, what does that mean? She goes, we can't talk about that. This grown woman was scared to death to even talk about it with somebody that wasn't from the country because of whatever would happen. This is 4 years ago, you know? So there are other places where the context of defying authorities is not so easy. I mean, you got to remember that. Most of Christian history, you lost your life, you know? And that's why I think that we got to be careful not being so flippant in America with the liberties that we have. You know, we have brothers and sisters right now in this world that are losing their lives for this. Apostles, people for centuries killed for this message. And I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want us to be arrogant in the liberties that we have. It's got to be with humility and reverence, because there have been so many people that bared the name of Christ that sealed our ability to have this freedom with their blood by defying these things. I think we got to keep that in mind. So ultimately, based off these numerous examples, submission to authorities over us must be unconditional. Meaning they don't have to earn it, but it's limited. They can't forbid us to do what God requires or require us to do what God forbids. And that's pretty much it. I think, and just in wrapping up, guys, with this section, we need to, hopefully we've come to the realization how quick our hearts have been to jump to disobedience, and the importance of how much our attitude matters, our humility and submission. And so with that, I will close this out. Let's take a break, and we'll get back together in a few minutes.
We still have vested interests in our power.